You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. Welcome to the people of Chutz La'aretz joining us in Eretz Yisrael, saying the same Parsha. And this week's Parsha, of course, we're in the 3 weeks. So the 3 weeks represent, as we said in the Slichas yesterday, Klal Yisrael being sent out of Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael losing our connection to Eretz Yisrael. And here in our Parsha, at the beginning of the 3 weeks, we have the love of Eretz Yisrael. We have the Chalukas Ha'aretz, the distribution of the land of Israel to the tribes. And we have the daughters of Tzlavchad, the five righteous daughters of Tzlavchad, who, as we'll see in the Medrash, represented the special, the uniqueness of the women of Klal Yisrael. As we spoke about a few weeks ago, as opposed to the Meraglim, who all they could see was the negative of Eretz Yisrael, the women, the Heilige Jewish women, were able to see the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. They showed that they cared to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, to have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And until today, I've heard a few stories of people who moved to Eretz Yisrael recently, who was the wives, the women who were they were focused on making sure to get their family to Eretz Yisrael. So I want to talk about the love of Eretz Yisrael. I also want to talk about the challenge of Eretz Yisrael. Of course, today, if you read any Jewish news, you know what's going on here in Eretz Yisrael. You know what's going on for the Haredim, those who are studying Torah. And I want to talk about, and I want to not just touch upon, but kind of get a depth in what it means to have a love for Eretz Yisrael, what it means to have a connection, and how when we have a connection to Eretz Yisrael, unlike the Meraglim, the opposite of the Meraglim, all they could see was the negative. But when you love somebody, all you see is the positive. So we're going to get there. But let's read a little bit about the Chalukas Ha'aretz. There's some really interesting things in the Medrash about it. We're going to read about the Benos Tzlavchad and see some interesting things about them. And we'll see what we can take personally from these Midrashim. Zeshar Rakosu Midyonim Yash B'Sagor. Pasuk says, in our Parsha Perchavah, Pasuk Nugimel, Le'ilu Techalik Ha'aretz, the people who were present at the time, the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, they were the ones who are going to receive the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. They were the ones who are going to receive it. So our Medrash says, it was going to be distributed to them. Our Medrash says, what we have is a Pasuk in Mishlei. And the Pasuk in Mishlei says that when you have a garo, when you have a nachla, when you have an inheritance, so you can have anger, you can have jealousy. Think about it, when someone passes away, heaven forbid, so the children fight over the nachla. They fight over the inheritance. Who's going to get this portion, who's going to get that portion? Now, on the surface of it, understand that, of course, it's negative. It's negative because, you know, everyone should get what they deserve. Everyone should get their portion. But on a deeper level, if you think about it, what's really going on when we have a nachla, when we have an inheritance, is that the parent, and this is something that I believe the Ramban talks about, a parent, he has a certain koach, he has a certain purpose in the world. The parents, the mother and the father, they have a certain thing that they were placed on this earth to do. And Hashem gives each and every individual the wherewithal to be able to do that. Okay, so when there's an inheritance, what's really going on is that the children are taking over for the parents what their purpose is. Parent has a midav chesed. So the children, in order to do that, to continue in the footsteps of their parents, they need the wherewithal that the parents had. So the parents leave behind to their children the things that supported them in their ability to fulfill their function in the world. So the children who are continuing that function, they receive the inheritance. They receive those things so they can continue that. Now, so I think you see from here is that when people are fighting over an inheritance, set of pots and pans, these leuchter, the candlesticks that mommy used, that Bubby used, Alta Bubby used, whatever, let's keep it far away. You know, when there's a fight over that, what they're really saying is at its depth, not at the surface, but at its depth, is that I want to continue to light the way my Bubby lighted. To light the candles and say the tefillas and to pray for my children the way my Bubby and my Alta Bubby, they were praying for their children. I want to light that same way. Okay, so now let's talk about it in the context of the tribes, of the Shvatim. So there can be fights, right? There can be fights. Hey, why is he getting that portion? He's next to the sea. I want to have a beachfront property. Why does that person get beautiful streams and waterfalls? I would like that, right? Each of the Shvatim could say that they would like something that somebody else has. Maybe they would even say it as, in a similar vein as children from their parents. Hey, I want to have that role. I want to be the one who's on the beachfront so that I can be the one going out to bring merchandise back to Israel and providing that service to Klal Yisrael. Right? But the Pasuk says, the Pasuk gave us a way out of the fights. Because the Pasuk tells us that Yaakov gave already back in Bracious, right? A few hundred years earlier. Yaakov, when speaking to his kids, he gave them blessings. And he said to them, this is what is your purpose in the world. This is where your portion in Eretz Yisrael is going to be. This is who you are. This is what your tafkid in life is. Zvulun l'chayv yam mishkoin. Zvulun, the tribe of Zvulun, will be on the beachfront. Yisachar revitz bein ha-mishpatayim. Yisachar is the one who's going to sit and learn. Asher shmeinu lachmai. Asher is going to have abundant bread. So now, the Medrash tells us one thing. One way of getting out of the arguments that could ensue. Remember what Yaakov said. Remember, Yaakov apportioned things precisely according to the purpose and the role that each of the tribes would play. But there's another thing, and it's Alpi HaGairo. And it's very interesting to look at this because, I mean, think about it. Each and every one of us has a reason why Hashem placed us on this earth. And it's not often easy to figure it out. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. What am I here for? What am I on this earth to do? What does Hashem expect of me? How can I serve the Jewish people? How can I serve the world? So one way to know is from a Yaakov Avinu, from a wise, insightful great-grandfather who says, this is who you are. I've watched my children, I've watched my grandchildren, and I'm watching you, and I see who you are and what your purpose is. And of course, he had a Ruach HaKodesh when he said it. He had divine inspiration. But another way is Al-Pi HaGairo. The Gairo is the lots that were drawn. As we'll see, there was miraculous stuff going on in them. It was clearly not by chance that each and every one of the different Shvatim of the tribes received a particular portion based on the lots. My Sinisa Maya Begaro, says the Medrash, there were miracles that happened with the Gairo. Elazar, who was at this point already the high priest, so he was wearing the Urim V'Tumim. He had the special breastplate on his chest, which had in it the stones that would light up. V'kalpi HaGairo l'fnei Yehoshua. And then there were the I don't even know what to call them, cards or some kind of things that he would pull out of the thing. He would pull these cards that had on a certain location or a certain name of a tribe. Lifnei Yehoshua, so that was in front of Joshua. Okay, so let's get it clear. So you have Elazar HaKohen, who's the spiritual leader of the Jewish people, who's the Kohen Gadol. You have Yehoshua, who is the lawful leader, you know, the Baal HaLacha leader of Klal Yisrael. And he was the leader who went out to battle with the Jewish people. So the Pasuk says in Yehoshua that there's going to be a Gairo which is thrown here in front of Hashem, right? So it's like Hashem is going to manifest something that looks like it could be happenstance, right? How does it come out? It looks like it's just, you know, it's the luck of the draw, right? Like they say. It can look like the luck of the draw, but we're going to see that it wasn't something that was just the luck of the draw. It was something that was clearly done in a way that it was directed by Hashem. Before he even picked out the card, pick a card, any card. Before the card was picked out, Elazar said, I know which card you're going to pick. I know you're going to pick the King of Hearts. I know that you're going to pick the location where your tribe is going to be. Here's what it's going to be, and this is what you're going to pick. This is what's going to be picked on behalf of this particular tribe. And then, after Elazar made his statement, Yeshua would stick his hand into the bag, pull out a card, and that's exactly what Elazar said is exactly what was pulled out. So you have a conscious awareness of what Hashem's will is by the Kohen Gadol, and then you have an act by the Gadol Hador, by Yeshua, of choosing on behalf of that particular tribe. Shenemar Ela Hanachlois Shenichlu Elazar Akam Yeshua Benun. Pasuk says this. It says, these are the portions that were apportioned by Elazar and Yehoshua ben Nun. So they, through what we just described, through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the clear, direct, divine providence, they were involved in giving out and apportioning the land. But there was one more miracle that happened. The Zohar says Yisera. Here was another thing. Shaya girl say vech b'shas al yosoy. Ani girl pliny. Right? They picked out the Bishron property, that's what it said on it. And the actual card itself was screaming out, I belong to Shevet Zvulun. Each of the cards that represented the places that were going to go to each of the tribes was actually speaking. Miraculously. Sounds like the donkey of Bilam. But here it's an inanimate object and it's speaking and it's saying, I belong to so and so. Ani garel plani, ashevet alisi lebemakam plani. I'm the portion of a particular tribe, and this is the place where they're going to be. Minayin shaya hagar madaber, says the Medrash, how do we know that the girl spoke? Tichsiv al pi hagarel, because the Pasuk says it was done al pi hagarel, which literally means based on, it's a phrase that means based on the lots. Based on the draw. But it also means, alpi can mean by the mouth of. It spoke. Now, I don't know if this means literally. It doesn't bother me if it does. In fact, it's kind of nice, kind of cool. But it could be that it even means, perhaps, that it was so clearly correct. It was so clearly aligned. It was so clearly apportioned to the correct tribe that there was nothing, it spoke for itself. It spoke for itself. Everything speaks out loudly exactly who this tribe is and where they belong. And I was thinking about this in terms of each and every one of us. We wonder, you know, what is our tafkid in life? Who are we supposed to be? What role are we supposed to be involved in? What does Hashem expect from us? And I think that, you know, we could go to spiritual advisors, to the Kohen Gadol. We can go to the Gadol Hadar, to the great sages, the great insightful tzaddikim. But sometimes the thing itself calls us. Sometimes the thing itself speaks to us and says, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Our hearts are drawn towards it. Our hearts are drawn towards our purpose in life. You know, Baruch Hashem, I have some talented kids. My daughter, she's learning to be an art therapist. She also sings beautifully. She also writes beautifully. One of my recent songs she wrote the Hebrew lyrics for. But the art has called her. She lights up when she does art. Music as well, she's called by. She lights up when she does music, when she sings. Now a person lights up from the things that they are, it speaks to you. It says, this is who you are. This is who you're supposed to be. the things that you're good at, the things that you love, the things that you connect to. It could be teaching. It can be learning. It could be helping others. It could be chesed. It could be so many things. There's so many places within the Torah for us to find ourselves. But it's that I need the outside help sometimes. I need that direction. Who am I? Where am I headed? I need to hear it from others. I also need to hear it from the thing itself. But there's another thing that goes on, and that's the daughters of Tzlafchad. The daughters of Tzlafchad, it seemed, were not going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Before I go on, I want to point out that there's something that within what I just said, it's really important. That's what we see also from the daughters of Tzlafchad. It's there's a feeling of connection with, a feeling of love, a feeling of that's something that I want to develop inside of myself, something that I'm good at. I care about other people. I care about music. I care about Torah. It's the thing that you care about. It's the thing that inspires you, that makes you feel alive when you do it. Obviously within the context of what's appropriate according to Torah. But the B'nai Tzlafchad saw something that was going on, and they were able to say, hey, that's part of who I am. Even though it didn't look like they were going to get it. It looked like they were going to be passed over for the opportunity to have a piece of Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't allow that to happen. But the Gemara is Tzlafchad, so the Medrash points out something really important. And that is the contrast between the men and the women of that generation. Important to understand. The women of that generation, of the Dor HaMidbar, of the generation of the wilderness, the women closed the broken fences that the men had broken. We find in regards to the Chet HaEgel, right? It's well known. The Chet HaEgel, which happened yesterday, happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz. So, the women were not involved in the sin of the golden calf. Aaron says to the men, go take the earrings of your wives and the nose rings of your wives. Get that gold and give it to me. The women did not agree to give up their gold. And it wasn't just because they wanted to have their jewelry, because later on for the Mishkan they gave it. It was because they didn't want to be involved in a sin. The men did it. The men were the ones who brought their own jewelry. The women were not involved in the sin of the golden calf. It's like there's a natural affinity on the part of women to doing what's right. They see the good. They see what's right. They see the positive. That's their natural ability. Perhaps it goes together with the Bini Yaseira, the natural intuition of a woman. Perhaps it goes together with their ability to connect through speech. In order for me to connect to you, I have to be able to talk to you about what's interesting to you. Right? I need to find something that lights you up. So the women were not involved in the Chet HaEgel, which was the wrong use of connection. They were trying to connect to Hashem through the eagle. They referred to the eagle as something that took them out of Egypt. Very difficult to understand that, but we're not involved in that. We also find by the Meraglim, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, that they said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. They spoke negatively. As a result of that, the men, as we'll see, it was decreed upon the men that the men will not be able to get into Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. So the women were not involved in this negative speech about Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said to them, you will surely die in the wilderness. Nobody was left. No man was left except for Kalev and Yoshua. Ish v'la isha. Pasuk says no man was left. that's not true of the women, because all the women were left. Why were they punished? Because they didn't want to come into the land of Israel. They were afraid. They couldn't see the good of Israel. But we see later on in our parsha that women have that unique ability to see the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, to want to be a part of Eretz Yisrael, no matter what. It speaks right before it talks about the Bnei Salafchad, how they wanted a piece of Eretz Yisrael. It says that those who died were not apportioned the land. Only those who were left, who still were alive, were apportioned the land. And then the women, the Bnei Salafchad, speak up. So we see that the women were the ones who were still around. They've been around the whole time. In fact, they didn't get married yet. Medrash says later on. But I want to focus on another aspect. We heard about the thing speaking to you. We heard about the spiritual master teaching you what your goal is, what your purpose is in life. But here's another aspect of it, and that's where the person's heart talks to them. A person's heart speaks from inside of them and says, that's what I'm supposed to do. A lot of times, it seems maybe too big for us. It seems impossible. It seems like our dreams are too far away. Eretz Yisrael, it's too hard to get in there. Chinuch is difficult. Look, they're doing the Bachrim. How do you go for your dream? How do you get to Eretz Yisrael, which is also representative of each and every one of our purposes in life? It's the destiny of Klal Yisrael, but it represents the destiny of every individual within Klal Yisrael. How do we get there? And the answer is, we learn from Bnei Salafchad that they say, Lama Nigora, why shouldn't I get there? Why should I be any less? What, only the men can get Eretz Yisrael? Why should our family not be part of that? What, only those who are already there in Eretz Yisrael are allowed to go, to be there, to live there? It's not for me, because I live in New York, or I live in Los Angeles, or I live in Australia, or South Africa, or Europe. It's not for me. Lo nigara, why should I be left out? Yeah, maybe it's a challenge. I don't have to look at that. I don't want to look at that. Love is blind. Love is blind. You know, I've thought about, you know, you've heard me speak a lot of times about the importance of Eretz Yisrael and living here. And I've been thinking about what's going on, the challenges to the Bnei Taira that's going on right now. And I want you to know that I have a son who is, in theory, could be in trouble for sitting and learning. Because it does not stop me, not one moment. I don't see that. And if something were to happen, I still won't see that. I still won't see that. To get what you want, to get something that you love, sometimes it involves hardships. Sometimes you got to prove that it's really that important to you. I feel like that's what's being asked of us. Actually, my son's Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yeshua Eichenstein, he actually said that part of the reason, perhaps, that this is going on is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to appreciate and to value and to stand up for the chashivus, the importance of learning Torah. Hashem wants to pull out that potential from us. But what I want to think about, and I want us all to think about is, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating, especially during the 3 weeks. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. That means that we focused on the negative within each other. It's easy to focus on the negative. It's bolet. It sticks out. It's easy to be critical, especially of others, sometimes of ourselves. But what's deeper is that when I love somebody, when I love Eretz Yisrael, when I love my family members, when I love those around me, my community members, when I love Klal Yisrael, I don't want to look at the negativity. Bilam, like we saw last week, wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at Klal Yisrael's negative sides. And Hashem says, I'm not interested in looking at the negative. I'm only interested in looking at the positive. I want to see the good of Klal Yisrael. That's the Gairo. I want to see the good of who you are. Who? What is your potential? What is your future? That's the B'nai Slavchad. I want to see where I'm going in the future. Where's my place in Eretz Yisrael? Where's my place in the future of the Jewish people? That looking at the good, that seeing the good and ignoring the bad. Yeah, I got to be Michael. I got to forgive others for the mistakes that they made. I want people to forgive me when I make a mistake. I have to be able to forgive other people of their mistakes. Everyone talks about Achdus. Everyone talks about unity amongst Klal Yisrael. But can I forgive somebody who's hurting me? Can I forgive the guy who's trying to arrest me and put me in jail? That's what's needed. That's what's needed. The hardest thing is to love somebody who does not love me. But that's the, to me, it seems like the call of the hour. Can't fight back with more hatred. It just creates more hatred. I can only respond with love. Not a simple thing. Not a simple thing. But it's something that calls out from the very Gairel itself. The Gairel itself calls out. As we get into Eretz Yisrael, we face this. Because we have to face each other. We have to face each other. I'm unhappy with how, let's say, someone who's not like me is behaving. I'm unhappy with what they place as their supreme value. And they're unhappy with me, with what I place as my supreme value. But I gotta love them. Here we all are in Eretz Yisrael. We're on the precipice of Geula. Here we all are together. And we gotta notice the good within each other. We gotta notice the girl of each and every other person. I look at the other person and I say, oh, I want what he has. That's jealousy. But what I need to see is he has what he's supposed to have. He is who he's supposed to be. The chassid, he's doing his gartel is what he's supposed to wear. And I'm supposed to wear my black hat and have my little pass behind my ears. He's supposed to have his long pass down to wherever. Right? And the guy who davens longer than me, that's his portion. And the guy who davens shorter than me, that's his portion. And the guy who learns more, and the guy who learns less, and the guy who's more accomplished, and all these things. One of the hardest things to do is to be happy for somebody else, for their success. But that's the call of the hour. To appreciate the people around us for who they are and what they bring to the Jewish people. Not to say that I don't want something like that also. If he's successful, if he's having success in Ruchnias or even in Gashmias, I want that too, but I don't want to take it away from anybody else. I also, Lamani Gar, why should I be any less? That's what the B'nai Slavchad say. Why should we be any less? We also want to have our portion. I want to be happy for somebody else. I want to look at the good. I want to see to it that the people around me are accomplishing what they're meant to accomplish. And I think that's what love really means. I was thinking about that today. Love really means, I love my kids. What does that mean? It means I want the best for them. I want them to be the greatest people that each and every one of them can be. That's what love means. Someone else succeeding does not take away from me, right? If anything, right? Because I'll say, a person does not have jealousy for his own child. He sees the child as his success is my success. Right? That's what love really is. I see other success as my own success. It doesn't take away from me. That's the Maisa HaGaral is asking us all to see the Maila of somebody else, to see that somebody else has their creation, their purpose in creation, and I have to find mine. I have to find mine. Figure it out. Ask for advice. Hear the thing calling me or hear a voice from inside of my heart calling, saying that that's where I'm supposed to be. I want to bless you and I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us that we should all be able to find out who we are, what our purpose is in this world. And Hashem should bless us that we should care about and be excited for watching other people also find their own purposes and fulfill their own potentials as well. And all Klal Yisrael should be able indeed to come as one in love together in Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.